The Bible reveals very little concerning the life of Christ from his birth until he began his ministry at the age of 30. Luke records an incident where a young 12-year-old Jesus lingered behind in the city of Jerusalem as his family made their way home to Nazareth after celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The record states that Jesus was missing from his family for 3 days until they finally found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Immediately after Luke's account of this incident, he began to write about the work of a man named John. In fact, all four Gospels include revelation pertaining to the preaching of this great prophet of God, who was actually a cousin of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible tells us that John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. The two great themes of John's preaching were the kingdom and baptism. This is why he's called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. The coming of the eternal kingdom and Israel's renewal was of great interest to the Jews. So when John came proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand," people listened. He baptized those penitent people for the remission of their sins, thus preparing them for what was to come. It's estimated that John and his disciples baptized thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Jews during their evangelistic effort. But of all the baptisms they perform, one shines through as being especially important. And so for the next few minutes, I want us to study together the day Jesus stepped out. And I want to begin by reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." Now, there are some great lessons to glean from the Lord's baptism, lessons that teach us who he was and what he stood for and what he expects from his followers. And so the first thing I want us to notice tonight is that the baptism of Jesus was righteous. It was righteous. It seems that when Jesus approached John to be baptized, the prophet had an idea of who he was, or at least of his righteous character. John had anticipated this moment, telling the Jews in John 1, 26 and 27, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." To these priests and Levites, John said he was a lowly messenger preparing the way for the one who would come after him. So John thought himself unworthy to baptize Jesus. However, the Savior insisted, telling John that it must happen, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus said, it's the right thing to do. John was a prophet of God who was revealing the will of heaven according to Luke 7, 28. In order to make Israel ready for the kingdom, John commanded baptism with a view of the coming Messiah. The Jews who rejected John's baptism rejected the will of God, according to Luke 7 and verse number 30. Just as Jesus needed to follow the law of Moses, so also he needed to obey John the prophet that he might fulfill all righteousness, or that he might do the right thing. Now, not only was the baptism of Jesus righteous, but number two, it was also revelatory. John's baptism had a twofold mission. Number one, for every other Israelite, it was for the remission of sins, according to Mark 1 and verse 4. But Jesus, number two, was a special case. He had no sins to forgive. However, it was still God's will for him to be baptized, and John tells us exactly why that was the case. In John chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, listen to the words of the prophet. He said, I did not know him, Jesus, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was designed to reveal God's anointed to Israel. Now, it seems that John maybe had an idea about the character of Jesus before he baptized him, which is why he initially objected. But it wasn't until after the baptism, when John saw this magnificent scene unfold before his eyes, that he knew for sure. Matthew tells us that when Jesus had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and a lightning or settling upon him, Matthew 3:16. So John was given this prophetic oracle from the Lord. Go and immerse Israelites. For one among the people is my chosen Messiah, sent into the world to save the people from their sins. John was told, when you see the Spirit of God descending from heaven and remaining upon one, that is the Christ. He is the one you've been waiting for. Now, this was a sign. This was the linchpin, the moment for which John was preparing and working, the moment that Jesus stepped out. This was a monumental step forward in the unveiling of God's redemptive scheme. John no longer has to say, there's one who's coming after me. Now he can say, this is it. Here he is. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him. Israel overwhelmingly recognized that John was a prophet, according to Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27. So when John directed people to Jesus, when he said, here he is, many of those who were disciples of John became disciples of Jesus. And the Lord's salvific ministry was ready to commence. But number three tonight, not only was the baptism of Jesus righteous and revelatory, it was also representative. The Lord's immersion was typical of a class or group or body, so that when Christ went down into the waters of baptism, he was showing forth a pattern which would be followed by his disciples. Now, there are obviously differences between Christian baptism and John's baptism, especially the reasons for which Jesus was baptized. But in Christ's acceptance of the Father's will, in humbling himself to the commandment of baptism and in the mode of baptism itself, beautiful similarities to Christian baptism exist. John's baptism helped to make the apostles ready to receive that great commission. When Jesus said to them in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Or in Mark's account in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus gave the pattern or the specific manner for how they were to make disciples. He said, as you go and as you make disciples, you need to do two things. You need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you must teach them all things that Christ has commanded. Mark's account says that the announcement of the gospel itself includes a call for faith and baptism. When Jesus was baptized, it marked the beginning of his public life as the Christ. When we are baptized, it marks the beginning of our life as a Christian. When Christ was baptized, he was humbling himself to the commandments of God. When we are baptized, we are also humbling ourselves to the word of the Lord. When Christ was baptized, he was fulfilling all righteousness. He was doing the right thing. And the same is true for us today. There's one other special significance concerning the baptism of Jesus I want to notice. Not only was it righteous, revelatory, and representative, the baptism of Jesus was also regal. It was regal. Even though John was chronologically older than Jesus, he said that Jesus was before him. And the imperfect tense of the verb stresses the eternality of Christ. The Lord's true identity was not just that he was the Christ. It wasn't just that he was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, sent into the world to take away sins. But also, he was the eternal Son of God. And this was revealed at his baptism. Before this event, only a small number of individuals knew the true divine nature of Jesus. As Brother Nate Bibbins taught us the other night, Mary knew. She received a divine message through the angel Gabriel that the son she would bring into the world would be great, that he would sit on David's throne over an eternal kingdom, and that he would be the Son of the Highest. Luke 1, verse 32. This occurred by the intervention of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit upon Mary. So Mary knew, Zacharias and Elizabeth knew. Before her son was born, Mary visited this aged couple who were also her relatives. And when she arrived, the Holy Spirit inspired Elizabeth to say, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Luke 1 and verse 42. Simeon the prophet and Anna the prophetess, they knew. A few shepherds knew, a few wise men from the east. But for most of Israel, it was 30 years after the birth of their king and redeemer that the Son of God was fully revealed to them. And it happened in the most spectacular way. After Jesus came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, signifying that he was the Messiah, the Bible tells us that suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." An announcement from the voice of God the Father, his words thundering out of heaven and echoing across the waters of the Jordan. "This is my Son, my beloved, the Son whom I dearly love, and in him I delight with pleasure." It was at this moment John the Baptizer could shout with boldness in John 1, verse 34, "I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." God could have chosen any way he wanted to reveal his Son to the world. The devil suggested that Jesus climb to the top of the Jerusalem temple and leap, because the scripture says that angels will safeguard you from harm. That would have been pretty spectacular. That would have been quite the sight to witness Jesus free falling to his certain demise, only to be swept up at the very last moment by an angel. An event like this would have certainly landed Jesus on the front page of the Jerusalem Tribune. It would have been a spectacle to behold. But this was not God's will. Instead, God sent a man to immerse folks in water. And by simple immersion, he would reveal his Son. And so it is with us today. As J.W. McGarvey wrote, at his baptism, Jesus was manifested as the Son of God. At our baptism, we're likewise manifested as God's children, for we're baptized in the name of the Father and are thereby permitted to take upon ourselves his name. When we're baptized, we are born again into the family of God. becoming his sons and daughters. Or as the Apostle John put it, as many as have received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but those who were born of God. John 1, 12 and 13. The baptism of Jesus is one of the most glorious events in all the New Testament. Christ's baptism was surely righteous, humble, and obedient to his Father's will. Jesus submitted in every way. His baptism was revelatory, showing to John and Israel that he was indeed the Christ and was ready to begin his redemptive mission. His baptism was representative, leaving behind an example, a pattern of humble obedience to the Lord, and his baptism was regal. For God announced his true identity to the world and has sworn to do the same for us, making us his beloved sons and daughters.